The time for stress is now behind you. You had it scheduled, and now you're done. I'm telling that to myself as much as you. You know, Dan and I don't magically relax 24 hours a day. It's a conscious decision that he makes every day and that I make every day. And by every day, I mean every other week when we record this show, The Empty Bowl, a meditative podcast about cereal. My name is Justin McElroy, and I am a cereal enthusiast.
And my name is Dan Goubert, and I would say on all levels but physical, I am cereal. That's all there is to it.
Dan is also one of the best writers about cereal ever. When I read his work at Cerealously.net, I thought, I want to make a podcast with this person. Now, I'm not saying that for any reason other than I think it's a nice thing to take a moment to tell people you appreciate them, to show gratitude, and I think that that can make you feel good in addition to the person. And that's nice, I think.
Yeah, we're all cereal on this podcast.
That's a great, great point, Dan. Well made.
Just treat your brain like a bowl of cornflakes and just let them rustle around for a little bit.
I also, Dan, want to discuss, we're going to do news, by the way. We're going to do reviews. We're going to take some of your cereal questions, etc. Your cereal answers, I guess, more accurately. But I want to talk about this show's incredible power to shape reality, which is weird for a little low-key show like ours. But, you know, we've seen it so many times. We talk about the Twinkie cereal that should exist. And what happens? Well, we get a Twinkie cereal. We have two news stories back to back that I feel like have been shaped
by our willpower. It's just, I think when it comes to meditative cereal, you're just grabbing this very specific fold of culture. And because you've got such a tight grip on that one little space, that allows us to sort of warp it a bit.
Yeah, when you set your goals nice and low, nice and attainable, just shifting the world of cereal a little bit, then I think that you stand a real shot. You know, you have a real chance at achieving those goals.
We can set our aims higher after a while. Maybe in 5 years we change when breakfast is. We just
It's after lunch now. Switch with noonsies. When I actually usually have my cereal at about 11:15 before I go to sleep when I have cereal. So I've already made the switch. What is the first news story?
So this one is particularly exciting to me simply because I love this flavor combo in cereal probably more than anything else. But Millville, if you're familiar, it is the Aldi store brand that gave us Snickerdoodle cookie cereal last year. Snickerdoodle cookies, sorry, if I recall it correctly. But looking into it more, it seems almost like, you know Malt O'Meal, right?
Right.
So for a while, they were basically just the equivalent to a store brand cereal in most people's minds because they have the big bags and it's usually a cheaper price and you can kind of taste the difference. But then Post bought them a few years back and they started to sort of be this like creative bargain outlet for ideas that it seemed like they weren't confident enough to try them on the Post line. So they brought them to the Malt O'Meal arena and it was kind of just skimming the creative runoff from Post brainstorming meetings is how I perceived it. But now, once you learn that Malt O'Meal and Post also own the Aldi store brand Millville and produce the cereal for them, I start to wonder whether this is becoming like a tertiary cereal idea powerhouse in a sense, because I'm so hyped up that I didn't even mention that it's peanut butter and jelly puffs cereal.
We've been asking for it on this show. Nearly every episode, you have talked repeatedly about, I would say almost in a hostile fashion, about the cereal manufacturer's lack of courage in releasing unto us a blend of peanut butter and jelly, already a time-tested flavor combination.
Yeah, it is literally an elementary solution to basically any flavor problem, is that everybody loves peanut butter and paired with jelly, it's just a no-brainer. But we haven't seen a peanut butter and jelly cereal since Jif PB&J properly went off the market several years back as well, which It was a little bit of a controversial cereal, but it was my favorite of that year. I don't know if you ever got the chance to try it.
I remember it being a little bit faint on the peanut butter flavor, but that is about all I recall.
Yeah, I mean, just a disclaimer, there was also the, I don't know if we ever talked about it on the show, but the Wild Kratts PB&J cereal that was just a pure disrespect to the name. I kind of just, you know, excluded that from the peanut butter and jelly cereal canon. But I'm hoping that Millville's interpretation is a return to good form for, like you said, this time-tested flavor combo. You look at the box, and much like the snickerdoodle cookies that had all these wild cookie mascots riding a sleigh, I believe it was, we have a pretty iconic set of characters here. A chuckling strawberry and peanut butter. First of all, great decision to use strawberry jelly here.
Thank you.
I know that'll anger a lot of grape fans, but I think it's the peanut butter mascot here that really sells it, because he kind of looks like a snake charmer's wicker basket. Yet he has the top nut inside of his shell just sort of hanging from the top of his head like buck teeth. And I think that's just creative character design. And for that reason alone, this is worth a try.
Also, in the category of realities that we have shifted around us, Sugar Cookie Toast Crunch, we announced last week by reading a tweet that it wouldn't be returning for the holiday 2019 season. And it seems like that was slightly off. That wasn't exactly right.
I mean, the truth was obscured for about a week or more. I mean, we launched our episode based on the first tweet that they sent that Sugar Cookie Toast Crunch was not coming back. And then,
this was not a fault in our reporting, folks.
Yeah.
We dotted all the lowercase j's on this one.
It was basically us against like a whole team of PR people who didn't necessarily communicate the info correctly, because 2 days after we posted our episode, they doubled back on their statement and said that you can't expect it this holiday season. And then I tweeted about that, and then some days later they contradicted themselves again and said it wasn't coming back. All the while, you can still find the cereal on the Toast Crunch website, which led me to believe that there was just some mistranslation here, because eventually at a certain point I just replied to one of their contradictory tweets like, bruh, is it happening or not? I'm speaking to you one-to-one as a person, not as like this business entity. You gotta tell us. You can't do this
right,
to us.
Just drop it on us. Just tell
and
us.
And then it seemed like I got a real genuine human response apologizing for the you know, sort of disparity in answers, and they confirmed that it is coming back. So, and they said it's coming back before the end of this month, which is just a ridiculously expedited request, in my opinion.
Too early. Way too early. Lastly, we've got Golden Grahams S'mores Bites.
See, when you said that we influenced two different arenas, I thought this was one of the ones you were mentioning as well, because
is this a three-peat?
Yeah, for the past couple of weeks, we've just been really pushing the Graham angle. Really, you know, a concerted undertone of what we're trying to say. And I think because of our pro-Graham political platform that we have here.
Because of our program.
Oh, my God. That's got to be a new slogan.
It is.
Add it to the list. But I'm starting to think that 2020 will be the incoming year of the Golden Graham. Because
okay.
I think it's the most under-recognized cereal in terms of variety. We haven't really gotten a cereal Golden Grahams variant ever, if by any of my recollection. We've gotten a couple cereal bars before, but the Golden Grahams bog standard has not really fluctuated.
We have gotten, like, there have been a lot of cereals that have mixed in Golden Grahams-style pieces, your Madagascar cereal, a lot of cereals have done that. Some s'mores cereals in the past, right?
Yeah, that feels like the obvious angle, and I get it. It's really good, but I want to see, you know, the Golden Graham used elsewhere as well.
Absolutely.
Then
give it some flavor tweaks. Like, how about a ginger? Like, give it a little bit of a gingerbread Golden Graham, please.
See, this theory about Golden Grahams having a resurgence is also clued in by the fact that somebody tweeted me a new box design for Golden Grahams as well. Mm-hmm. I know it's been a while since, or they've rather been using this giant Golden Graham enlarged ginormously to show texture, and now it's a bit more of a font-forward appeal, which I'm hoping is the forebearer of good things. Part of my brain wants to say that this classic has been good for so long that maybe it doesn't need to be tweaked, but I think I'm just going to let the course of Graham Destiny decide it. And as always, off track and back on track, the sort of harbinger of that Golden Graham streak might be these s'mores bites. If you recall from a couple years back, I don't know if you tried them, but the Cinnamon Toast Crunch Bites that were released in cereal aisles.
I have had are these the freezer treats that are Cinnamon Toast Crunch, like puffs?
Yeah, you're right. Sorry, freezer aisle. But
freezer aisle, yeah. I have had those. I had those as recently as for my daughter's birthday in like August. So they're still out there.
Did you put candles in each one?
No.
They were basically like stuffed donut holes in that sense, and these Golden Graham S'mores Bites seems like a different spin on it. They look almost like dinner rolls from the outside, but inside, there's this sort of mixed-up soup, a witch's brew of both chocolate and marshmallow, that I think will be very interesting to see what it looks like when it's actually executed in my microwave.
I simply can't wait. They look absolutely... they look absolutely delicious. I don't know what else to say.
I think if you put one on a skewer and put it over the fire, that's the way.
Dan, we have stalled long enough. It's time to talk about the Baby Shark cereal.
If we must. I mean, I tried it. I cracked open one of two giant boxes that were inside a larger box purchased from Costco. And have you tried it, right?
No, I have not. I looked at the Walmart. It looked like they maybe needed to restock because their cereal selection, because it was slim pickings over there. I was so disappointed though with a few of these, like, sort of berry ring meets Tums marshmallows. Cereals, but I was not expecting great things, and it sounds like you didn't get great things.
Yeah, I mean, everybody who heard our last episode knows how I felt about the birthday cake Fruit Loops, which were just, you know, the laziest interpretation of birthday cake that I've ever seen. And these berry fantastic Baby Shark cereal is not a whole lot different. It adopts more of a direct fake berry taste rather than, you know, glazing vanilla over some sort of chemical strawberry like the Fruit Loops. But the cereal basically looks the same as the Fruit Loops as well, and it's very uninspired again. I think it's almost passable in milk, like, if you're not really thinking about it. Like, it's just sort of an accent cereal to whatever you're doing in the moment. It's passable, but I also acknowledge that I'm not really the target audience for this one, so maybe it's wisest if I don't impose final judgment.
I tell you what, honestly, if I have not tried this one on my kids yet. I think that, but if I had to predict, judging by the past interactions we've had, I think they'll be momentarily delighted that the Baby Sharks are on the box. But then I feel like that delight will be extremely fleeting when they see just how basic this cereal is. I mean, the lack of any sort of shark shapes at all it seems like such a wild omission. I know it's just like a cash-in, but help me out, y'all. Like, we figure something out, right?
Yeah, and I think there's not really much replay value to this box either, because if you flip it around, they just reskin the box as Mommy and Daddy Shark cereal. Ugh. And yeah, it's kind of a low blow to just use your box back to make it appear to be a different cereal. So other than a little bit of description of the shark family on the side, I don't see this one really out entertaining the TV or iPad.
We wanted to check in on sort of a Halloween autumnal cereal update. How are things going over there? I want to bring you my piece of news first. My first box. Maybe my only box, honestly, at this point. I used to be deep in the paint on monster cereals. I used to be pretty diehard. I was like going to Target a few years back to find boxes of Fruit Brute and Yummy Mummy. I was a staunch supporter. I don't I can't say I love them anymore. I feel like they're kind of one note, and I'm not crazy about the pieces anymore. The marshmallow sweeties are still dope, but whatever. My daughter, I let her pick out our monster cereal box, and she goes with Frankenberry, which is actually my number three.
Yeah.
Out of Boo Berry, Count Chocula, Frankenberry. The kid loves pink. What am I supposed to do? That's my Halloween cereal roundup.
Yeah, it's quite, like, viewed now like a reanimation of the Fruity Lucky Charms, which I know both you and I have very nightmarish memories of as well. I also have yet to pick up any of the monster cereals. I guess I'm not mentally ready to download my pumpkin carvings and make that a whole afternoon long affair.
Yeah.
But we've seen that, you know, new cereal releases work pretty seasonally. So the start of the year is pretty hot. The start of summer is pretty hot. But the second half of the year, these cereal companies lately have just been releasing the same seasonal cereals. And we'll get maybe one or two new ones per Halloween or Christmas season. But usually it's a recurring cast of characters lately. So I don't think we really talked about a lot of the sort of other perennial Halloween cereal favorites. So I wanted to cover a couple of them here. First of all would be Cap'n Crunch's Halloween Crunch, which I think, as the monster cereals sort of tarnish their reputation, this one seems to be a new mainstay that is, you know, respectable and consistent in its execution. Probably because it doesn't really change the Cap'n Crunch berries flavor at all.
So you're going to just get a classic hit of the Crunchberries flavor.
Yeah, but they have the sort of neon orange ghost Crunchberries instead that turn your milk green, of all things, which, you know, it's a simple parlor trick, but it still gets me every time. It's just, they don't overpromise. It's green milk. You know what you're in for. It's green milk. But I love it.
And I will say, now this year we've got, I'm looking for shapes. What are we getting? Okay, so like little ghosts, sort of. At least the Cap'n is putting in some of this tooling work to get the ghosts shapes in there, not just giving us the standard berry shapes. Also, do want to mention, back of that box, you do have a Captain Crunch pumpkin template to download. I didn't want to give flack to the monster cereals and not pass that along to the Cap'n.
Well, I will say that based on pictures that people have shown me this year, the back of the box is different than the pumpkin carving that I've seen in recent years, because now we have a little bit of the classic Cap'n Crunch, you know, visual diorama with different puzzles scattered about, which I don't know if it's better or worse than a pumpkin carving, but at least they're mixing up the narrative a little bit better than a movie tie-in.
The instructions on the Captain Crunch's pumpkin template are as follows. One, buy a set of carving tools, including a pumpkin template transfer punch and pumpkin carving saw. Two, tape a photocopy of this template to your pumpkin. Then it says, feel free to make it bigger if you have a larger pumpkin. I love the idea that you would want to make it bigger, but you didn't know if the Cap'n had given you leave to make it bigger. So they've done it. They've given it to you.
I like to think that someone read that and thought, the Cap'n would never say that. And put a very, very small Cap'n Crunch face in the middle of a giant pumpkin.
You know what? This is funny. I've never heard of this one because I don't have a Trader Joe's in my neck of the woods. But it seems like a kind of... it sounds pretty good, honestly.
Well, yeah, it's Trader Joe's Pumpkin O's. This one has been out for several years as well, but personally, I feel like it's been, like the Monster cereals, going down in quality over the years. When I first tried it, it was when there was never really pumpkin cereals before that time, so it was this new, fresh thing. But now that you've gotten your pumpkin spice Frosted Flakes and pumpkin spice Cheerios, the rings that Trader Joe's brings to the table are very, very aerated and, like, serrated also on the inside, so much like Cap'n Crunch, who has yet to to brandish his pumpkin spice interpretation, it messes with your mouth a lot in terms of, you know, filleting and physical pain.
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of pumpkin spice air gets caught in those air bubbles, and it just ends up like a stale candle when it actually gets out.
We've got a few of you, dear listeners. We asked you what your anthem, if you had to pick an anthem cereal, what that anthem would be, an autobiographical cereal that really sums you up. So we have a few of your answers that I'd like to play for you right now.
Hi, Dan and Justin. My name is Mel. I live in Massachusetts. So I love things that are spooky, and I love the Halloween season. I am also pagan, and so this time of year is very important to me. So it goes without saying that my anthem cereal are the monster cereals. I make sure to buy a box of each of them every year, and I get very excited when I see them in stores. Also, rest in peace, Fruit Brute and Yummy Mummy.
Hey guys, this is Jordan. My autobiographical anthem cereal would be Cinnamon Life. It seems like it would be pretty boring, but it's actually hiding a surprising amount of sugar, both metaphorically and literally. And most importantly, I have red hair, so Cinnamon Life is a delicious pun. Thank you.
Hello, Dan and Justin. This is Holly from Seattle. My anthem cereal is Golden Grahams. Golden Grahams are sweet, warm, and very consistent. As they get to know the milk, they become pleasantly soft, but not too soft. They are a perfect analogy for who I try to be as a person in my daily life.
Yeah, that's lovely. I think that's just lovely.
Man, I'm really sorry to Mel that we kind of just dumped on the monster cereals for like 20 minutes before she got to confess her love for them. I didn't really plan that, but
I think that if Mel really loves the monster cereals, that she's able to look them in the face and know what they have become.
Mm-hmm.
That's what love is. Do you have any questions that you'd like to put to the listeners for this next week, Dan? Anything spring to mind?
I got a pretty simple one on the surface, but I think it cuts a little bit deep because we asked what cereal people think they are, and I agree that anthem cereals will tell you a lot about someone or who they think they are at the very least. But the question this time is, what's your current cereal lineup? No cheating, no buying new cereal, no lying. Just let us know what's on your cereal shelf, on top of your fridge, in your pantry right now. Because I think the spread, like the whole lifestyle arrangement of cereals that people pick, says a lot more about, you know, them as the spectrum of a person than any single cereal can.
That's beautiful, Dan. What a wonderful way to put that. I wanted to do for our third segment, which is when we do every episode. It's a little bit more freeform. Get to let our hair down, proverbially speaking, a little bit, and tell you about some ephemera, some cereal ephemera. This episode we have cereal show and tell, where we are going to talk about a special cereal something that we treasure. I can start since I introduced the segment. Seems only fair. My brother Travis got me for my last birthday, got me three personalized cereal bowls that he had put my picture in, and they have different sayings like, "This cereal belongs to Justin," and "Justin's Munchins," and things like that. They're really beautiful personalized bowls. I'll try to remember to put a picture of them onto the social media so you can see them there.
Are they are they all the same picture inside, or no,
three different pictures? Me in different states of enjoying cereal and enjoying life. Wow. But those are mine.
It's like a triforce of power.
Yeah.
For mine, you know, I've got a lot of serial stuff laying about. And I know I've talked about a lot of it at different points in this podcast, but one I don't think I've mentioned is the two giant Toucan Sam cardboard cutouts that I have. I knew someone back in college whose dad worked at, like, Kellogg's trade shows, and, you know, one time he just brought to me these two giant Toucan Sams, several feet wide each, made of cardboard, the exact same rendering of him, and just, I felt weirdly touched that, you know, someone knew that I liked cereal enough to just take these and deliver them to me, and in that way, I kind of had to come to terms with the fact that I'd have to be finding various places to store two giant Toucan Sams for the rest of my life. so, you know, from since that point, it's just they have this place in the corner of my mind where I'm always moving them because there's just two giant cardboard Toucan Sams on my shoulder at every time. And I need to be conscious of them because they are my inherited burden and I need to take care of them.
It's beautiful. I should have mentioned previously that if you want to answer that question that Dan put to you, then you want to head over to bowl.rest and you can leave us a voicemail there. You can also donate to the show there if you would be so kind. And you know, if you can't spare a donation, that's completely fine. But maybe you could review the show. It helps us get the word out, and I love for the show to help as many people as humanly possible. If you find yourself craving more cereal content, head on over to cereallessly.net. It is the best cereal website on the internet.
True.
I also want to give a plug for, we've mentioned on the show before, but the Cereal Time YouTube channel, I have found myself watching pretty religiously. It is perfect for when you're enjoying a bowl of cereal, and being able to watch his videos are a lot of fun.
Yeah, he got on the Today Show recently just for his giant cereal box collection. It was pretty wild.
Wow, fantastic.
Yeah, big achievement.
Congratulations.
Speaking of achievements, this is our veritable one-year anniversary episode. So,
oh my gosh.
Yeah, right? 19 episodes, 1 year, on to the second.
Yeah, here we get 19 episodes a year. It's the perfect pace. Thank you all so much for listening. We will return to you with another episode soon. But until then, for Dan Goubert, my name is Justin McElroy. And as always,
don't forget to drink the milk. I wasn't going to wait that time.
That was good. Yeah, you got to go with immediacy.
Confidence.
Confidence. That's the game.